Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Nathaniel.
And we're glad that you could join us for today. We're getting started with a lesson called Difficulties in German. And our author, Joe Wirtz, has had some interesting experiences learning the German language. Well, it's not always easy to learn a new language. Carolyn, of course you speak English, but I know that you've also learned Chinese. Do you have any experiences about how difficult it might be to learn this language?
Well, it is very challenging, and there was one time I wanted to buy a pair of shoes, but instead of saying the Chinese word for shoes, I said the Chinese word for eggplant.
Wait, how does that go? So what's the Chinese word for shoe, and what's the Chinese word for eggplant?
The shoe is xiezi, and the eggplant is qiezi. And so this sound is very similar, and I got them confused when I was trying to buy this pair of shoes, and it was a little embarrassing.
Well, that does make for a good story. I think those kinds of things happen a lot if you're learning a new language. Nathaniel, has anything like that happened to you?
Well, yes, there was one time that I meant to say chest hair, xiongmao, and I ended up saying panda, xiongmao, and people were very confused. Well, I think it is time that we get to the first part of today's reading.
Difficulties in German. My successes and failures at studying German abroad. I will be the first to admit that my German skills are quite poor. As a university student, I decided to minor in German. For some reason, I really liked the language, but I was not particularly good at learning it. The grammar and word order confused me. Prepositions made no sense. All the nouns had genders, and I rarely remembered which noun was which. My only talent was spelling. I got an A+ on every vocabulary test I took. After 2 years of studies, I resigned myself to communicating in broken German and signed up to study in Germany to complete my degree. It was the hardest semester I would ever have.
Hello, listeners. This is your word lady, Ellen. Have you ever tried to learn a new language? Did you find it easy or hard? In today's Passport article, we'll learn about Joe's experience of learning a language while studying abroad. Here are our key words for today. Gender. Gender is a noun. Many languages assign genders to their nouns. Resign. Resign is a verb. Ken sighed and resigned himself to carrying his girlfriend's purse for her. Start from scratch. Start from scratch is an idiom. Bella ruined the cake mix when she accidentally added bad eggs, so she had to start from scratch. On edge. On edge is an idiom. I was completely on edge when I met my boyfriend's parents for the first time. Your more information words are minor. Minor is a verb. Fall by the wayside. Fall by the wayside is an idiom. What are some things you find hard when learning a language? Think about that as we finish the article.
Well, I always enjoy reading Joe's stories. At the very beginning here, we see this tagline. It says, "My successes and failures at studying German abroad." And something I do appreciate about Joe is that she says everything. She's not just talking about the good things, she also talks about the negative things. She's very honest. She talks about her successes and her failures at learning this new and somewhat difficult language. Well, the first sentence here begins with, "I will be the first to admit that my German skills are quite poor. And before we continue, we're going to enjoy some time with Liz in the Grammar Gym.
Hi there, friends. Welcome to the Grammar Gym. My name is Liz. Here's our grammar tip sentence. I will be the first to admit that my German skills are quite poor. Notice the phrase, to be the first to admit. Basically, it means the writer is willing to say that her German is not very good. We use this expression, to be the first to, plus a verb, when someone is admitting that they're responsible for something that is not so good. Now, usually, when we're describing ourselves, we don't like to talk about our poor qualities. But sometimes there are situations where we'll be willing to say that we're not very good in something. For example, although Tom comes from a family of accountants, he'll be the first to admit his math is very poor. Or, Dr. Nelson is a long-time expert in this field, but he'll be the first to admit he has no idea how we should handle this case. Now, if you want to see some more example sentences, you'll find them in today's Grammar Tip section in your magazine. And that's it for today. This is Liz from the Grammar Gym. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Liz, for being the first to explain that sentence to us. As we continue, as a university student, I decided to minor in German. All right, we see a word there in that sentence, minor. Nathaniel, can you tell us about this word, to minor in something?
You've probably heard that you major in something in college. Well, of course, you can also minor in something else. I personally have a minor in media, though my major is in Bible. It's different.
Okay, Carolyn, did you minor in anything while you were studying at university?
Well, I thought about having an honors minor, and I was able to complete it. And my sister has a physics minor, so she was already taking a lot of math classes, and physics fit in very well with her major, so she decided to have a minor as well.
Well, I did not minor in anything. I got a major in communications, and I studied theater. But we see that Joe minored in German. She decided to minor in German. We don't know what her major was, but that's not important for this lesson. Nathaniel, how do we continue the story?
The next sentence says, for some reason, I really liked the language, but I was not particularly good at learning it. So she is taking on a challenge.
All right. She wasn't good at learning it. It was a challenge. And she continues, the grammar and word order confused me. How might this have been confusing, Carolyn? What was confusing to her?
Well, the grammar and word order in German is very different from English, so she had to learn a new grammar system, and the words were in different places.
All right, and she continues by saying, prepositions made no sense. She could not understand them. Well, I like that phrase, if something makes no sense, or if something makes sense. How else could you use that phrase? I might say, oh, that makes sense, if I really understand it. What is something that makes sense or doesn't make sense to you, Nathaniel?
Well, it would make no sense to listen to really loud music when you're trying to sleep. It probably would not help you very much.
All right, I wouldn't understand that either. Well, prepositions were confusing for Joe. She says they made no sense. And she continues, all the nouns had genders, and I rarely remembered which noun was which. Let's take a look at a word from that sentence. It is gender. And there's a good word there from the word bank, gender. This talks about male or female. Humans, of course, are either male or female, but some words in some languages can also either be male or female. And of course, we also talk about gender roles. That's something that many people argue about. What is right for women to do or men to do? Gender roles. But the rest of this sentence, we see a phrase here that says, which was which. She rarely remembered which noun was which. Let's talk about that phrase. Nathaniel, what can you tell us about this sentence pattern?
Well, when you are learning a new language, sometimes it's hard to tell which word is which. Sometimes they just sound almost exactly the same. We gave some examples earlier of very similar sounding words.
That's right. Which is which? Oh, these shoes look the same. Or my bag looks the same as yours. Which is which? Well, of course, there are different ways to tell which is which. Carolyn, how does our article continue?
Well, it says, my only talent was spelling. I got an A+ on every vocabulary test I took. So it sounds like she did pretty well on her vocabulary test. She got an A+, and that's kind of a different grading system than what is used here in Asia. Nathaniel, can you tell us a little bit more?
Well, A+ is the best grade that you could probably get in the United States, but here, of course, they use a percentage system. 100% would be the best grade that you could get. Okay, let's move on to the information cloud.
From our lesson today, it does seem like one would have to have a talent for German in order to learn the language.
Well, our writer does use the word talent. She says her only talent was spelling. So let's talk about that. A talent is a natural ability or skill.
Right. Someone who is talented shows an exceptional natural ability to do something. Another word we might use is gifted.
Right, being gifted and being talented are pretty much the same thing. But the word gift has the connotation that it's something God-given. Someone might have a gift for making people laugh, and that means he has a great sense of humor.
Now, I've known a few gifted children, and I certainly know some gifted adults. I have a friend who has a knack for learning languages. She can speak 6 languages very well. She's definitely gifted in language learning.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. A knack, spelled K-N-A-C-K, is a special way of doing something. If you have a knack for something, then you're not only good at it, but you might have a unique way of doing it.
And then there's genius, which refers to somebody with exceptional ability, especially somebody whose intellectual or creative achievements gain wide recognition.
And very few of us are geniuses. 今天的课文中作者说他唯一的天分就是在于拼字。 天分他用了talent, 其实除了talent也可以用gift, gift除了指礼物, 也可以表示天分才能。 比如说he has a gift for music, 他有音乐天才, he has a gift for languages, 他有语言天才。 另一个可以用的字是knack, K-N-A-C-K, knack就是技巧, 窍门。 我们可以说Steve has a knack for teaching English, Steve懂得教英文的技巧。 而最了不起的呢是genius, genius 可以指人就是一个天才，也可以指特殊的才能或某一种天性。比如说 he has a genius for music, 他有音乐的天分。这就是今天的Info Cloud, 我们下次云端见。Thank
you, gentlemen. Well, we continue with Joe's story. After 2 years of studies, I resigned myself to communicating in broken German and signed up to study in Germany to complete my degree. All right, let's take a look at one key word right there. It is the word resign. When you resign yourself to do something, that kind of means you gave up a little bit. You went to another position that was a little more comfortable. How could you use that word, Carolyn?
Well, when I think of the word resigned, I think of something that is inevitable, mm-hmm. which is a word we learned in a previous lesson this month. And if you resign yourself to doing something, maybe you don't really want to do it. Like, I resigned myself to waiting in a really long line.
All right. You didn't want to do it, but you resigned to doing it. Well, Joe continues, it was the hardest semester I would ever have. Friends, this is a great introduction to a wonderful story. We have more after learning with Michelle and, of course, taking a break.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle. 今天的第一个重点，我们看 gender 这个名词。 Gender 在这里特别是指语言中字词的阴阳性。 例如, in French, the word for moon takes a feminine gender. 在法文中，月亮这个字是阴性的。 Gender也指男女的性别, 例如 the book talks about the differences between genders. 这本书探讨两性之间的差异。 接下来我们看的是resign这个动词。 resign本来是指辞职, 但是在这里是指屈从, 只能或者是勉强接受。 课文中的 resign oneself to something 是指只能如何如何。注意 to 在这里是当介系词后面是接名词。例如 because I have to work during the championship game, I resign myself to watching the rerun. 因为我在冠亚军赛当天要上班，我只好接受看重播。
Well, in our article today, Joe seems to be having some trouble learning German. There are so many things to remember, especially since all of the nouns have genders. It can be very confusing, and we see that she resigned herself to communicating in broken German. Well, let's continue with our article today and see what she did once she finally arrived in Germany.
Difficulties in German. Once in Germany, I felt like I was starting from scratch. The German I'd learned in university wasn't practical for everyday conversation. My book knowledge fell by the wayside as I figured out the basics of getting around, reading menus, and chatting with my classmates. I was constantly on edge at school, worried about whether the professors would call on me in class and whether I'd understand their questions. I only relaxed a little around my 8 roommates, who were willing to speak German slowly to me and didn't seem to mind my mistakes.
Well, it is nice to have roommates who you can practice your new language with. We start at the beginning of this section. Joe says, once in Germany, I felt like I was starting from scratch. All right, let's take a look at those words. To start from scratch, straight from our word bank. When you start from scratch, Nathaniel, what are you doing?
Well, you're starting from the very beginning again. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've already done some work, but you have to go back and start from scratch. Has this ever happened to you when you were writing a paper and you didn't save it on your computer? You had to start from scratch.
Yes, I understand. Either I didn't save it or I misunderstood the professor. I misunderstood the assignment, so I had to toss out what I already did and start from scratch. Carolyn, have you ever had to start from scratch on anything?
I have had to start from scratch on many occasions, and this word can also have a different meaning. Scratch, to start from the beginning, you can make something from scratch. Mm-hmm. Means that you don't have anything prepared beforehand, you make everything yourself. So maybe you like to bake things from scratch.
That's great. That's a great way to use this phrase. Next time you are cooking or baking, you can talk about starting from scratch. Well, Nathaniel, how does our lesson continue?
The German I'd learned in university wasn't practical for everyday conversation. Sometimes that is a troublesome thing when you're learning a language. You feel like you can't really use it.
That's right. You can't really use it sometimes. And she refers to her book knowledge. She says, my book knowledge fell by the wayside as I figured out the basics of getting around, reading menus, and chatting with my classmates. Well, book knowledge, that's just the information that you learn from books, like textbooks. It's not necessarily great for conversation on the street. I also think of street smarts. Some people are very street smart. They can get around on the street, and other people have a lot of book knowledge. But I also saw another phrase here in this sentence. We talked about getting around. So, Carolyn, what does this mean? These are words we want to talk about. Getting around.
Well, if you can get around, that means you can find your way. You don't get lost. You understand where you're going and what you should be doing. So you might say, it's very easy to get around the city. All of the signs are very clear and the roads are very straight. So it's pretty easy and not confusing.
All right, it's not confusing to get around physically in a city or an area. Nathaniel, is there another way you could use this phrase?
Well, sometimes we do say they get around a lot, which just means that they go a lot of places. Mm-hmm. They're so familiar with the roads because they get around a lot.
All right, so use that phrase sometime today. How do you get around? Well, Joe continues, I was constantly on edge at school, worried about whether the professors would call on me in class and whether I'd understand their questions. So again, we have an important phrase right there, on edge. Jo felt like she was on edge. Can you tell us about this, Nathaniel?
Well, if you're on edge, you're very nervous. Maybe you feel like you're standing on a very thin edge and you're nervous about falling off. That's a picture to maybe help you understand. For example, public speaking puts many people on edge. We often say that. Puts people on edge.
I would agree. Public speaking is one of the top fears that people have. It would put people on edge. How do you use that phrase, Carolyn?
Well, maybe if you're in an accident and you're afraid of having another accident, like you're driving and you get hit, you might be on edge the next time you get into a car. It can be very nerve-wracking.
All right, you might feel tense or anxious. Well, friends, when do you feel on edge about something? Talk about it in English today. Nathaniel, how does Jo continue?
She says, I only relaxed a little around my 8 roommates who were willing to speak German slowly to me and didn't seem to mind my mistakes. It's always nice to have someone to practice with that isn't going to make you feel nervous or that is trying to make you say everything perfectly all the time.
That's right. I agree. You want to be comfortable speaking your new language around people. It's kind of a funny sentence here. Jo says she only relaxed a little. Why? Because she didn't just have 1 or 2 roommates to be nervous around. She had 8 roommates. They made her feel comfortable. But having that many people to speak to can make you get a little on edge. Well, Carolyn, how do you feel about this story so far?
Well, I'm really enjoying reading about what Jo has gone through because I've been in similar situations and I really like to see how other people react to learning a new language.
That's right. I think so, too. It can be interesting learning a new language. You don't want to let what you already learned fall by the wayside. That's another phrase that we saw here in this lesson. She says her book knowledge fell by the wayside. And that means it was important, but you don't have enough time or you don't care, so you can't really focus on something. I think it's important to let your relationships be important. Don't let them fall by the wayside. Emphasize your relationships or take care of your relationships. Right now it's time for us to continue learning something with Michelle in the language lab.
Okay, 接下来我们来看的是 start from scratch 这个成语。 Scratch 是指起跑点或者是归零的状态， 所以 start from scratch 是指从头开始或者是白手起家。例如 after the model for our science project was ruined, we had to start from scratch. 自从科学作业的模型被毁了之后，我们一切得从头开始。或者是 after closing his restaurant, Dan decided to start from scratch and open a clothing store. Dan 结束餐厅的营业之后，决定要东山再起，再开一家服装店。最后我们看的是 on edge 这个成语。 Edge 是指边缘， 所以 on edge 是指紧张不安或者是焦虑，当形容词片语使用。 例如 Martha was on edge while waiting for the results of her interview. Martha 在等面试的结果时很紧张。或者是 Sandra was feeling tense and on edge before the audition. Sandra 在试镜之前感觉很紧绷又焦虑。And keep watching as our lesson continues.
Well, Jo's story is certainly interesting. I'm enjoying learning about her experiences learning German. And it does make me wonder about the phrases or the things that are useful to know when you visit another culture. Carolyn, what kinds of things would you need to know or do you think are important to know if you visit another culture?
Well, I think it's always good to be able to ask for directions, to know how to ask, how do I get there? But it's also important to understand the answers that people give you, and a lot of times we don't learn those responses. So pay attention to those as well. What do you think, Nathaniel?
Well, you may not think that it sounds that important, but I think it's good to know a few polite phrases like excuse me or I'm sorry. They might keep some awkward things from happening.
All right, I think that people are pretty understanding when there's a foreigner in their culture, but it is good to know and do your research beforehand to know what kinds of things you should say. Well, we have lots more to learn tomorrow. We'll see you then right here on Studio Classroom. Goodbye.
Bye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. Chapter 13. Lost in the Cave. The story of the happenings near the widow's house went quickly round the village. Everybody was early at church, and the news was discussed before the doors opened. After church, Judge Thatcher's wife spoke to Mrs. Harper.
Is my Becky going to sleep all day? I just expected she'd be tired after the picnic.
Your Becky?
Yes.
Mrs. Thatcher looked surprised.
Didn't she spend the night with you?
No.
Mrs. Thatcher's face went pale, and she was going to say something when Aunt Polly came up to them.
Good morning, Mrs. Thatcher. Good morning, Mrs. Harper. I'll have to speak to Tom about not telling me what he was doing. I suppose he stayed at one of your houses last night.
Mrs. Thatcher's face was white now.
He didn't stay with us, said Mrs. Harper. Joe, have you seen Tom Sawyer this morning?
No, Mother.
Anxiety spread quickly. There were worried questions for the children and the young teachers. They all said they hadn't noticed whether Tom and Becky were on board the steamboat on the way home. It had been dark. Nobody had tried to make sure that everybody was there. At last, one young man said he was afraid they were still in the cave. The thieves were forgotten. The steamboat was made ready, and in less than half an hour, more than 200 men were hurrying towards the cave.